Okay, let's open in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this assembly of believers that we can come together under one roof. We can do so freely. We pray for the upcoming message today, Lord. Pray that it will accomplish what you have for it to accomplish. In your name, amen. Okay, so last Sunday, we went out to the Dean's for the maple syrup boil, and as is kind of always the case, we got a game of football going, right? And some of the guys were throwing the pigskin around and in the back, and Esther and I were kind of walking around. Esther had had put Evelyn into a snowsuit that Aunt Beverly, just adorable, Aunt Bevy had crocheted for her, and it's like she was not going to be small enough to fit into it next year for next winter time, so we put her in it, and she wanted to take pictures. So we're walking around, we snap some pictures, and then just as we get done, Esther's like, "You want to go play football, don't you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I really do." And then just then a football comes and it hits the ground in front of us and it goes rolling. So I try to stop it and I don't stop it, and it goes and rolls underneath a car. I believe it was actually the Dean's van. And up comes this kid, and I actually had never met this kid before, probably 13, 14 years old. He comes running up, and I go to try and, you know, get underneath there to get it, and he goes, hey, I'll get that. You're too old to be bending over like that." So, thanks, I think. And so I looked at Esther, and she's, of course, sitting there giggling. I'm like, "I really want to play football now." And unfortunately, he was on my team, so nothing happened, right? But so as always, when I start speaking, I tend to think about things that have been happening to me or that I observe. So I am not speaking about getting old, although I think with the goatee or the beard, I think I could speak about getting old, but I'm not going to. No, I want to speak about something that I've seen as I've gotten older. And now I can kind of, you know, instead of being down in the game, I can kind of take a spectator look at things and kind of, "Hey, wow, look at that." So with that, I want to talk a little bit about social media, as I have in the last couple messages. But everyone has either seen YouTube or been on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever it possibly might be, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. But whenever you're scrolling on there, oftentimes they'll have these shorts or these little videos about these trends, these movies that go viral. People, they call them influencers, right? They're usually doing some harebrained stunts to attain internet fame, to go viral. Sometimes these stunts are relatively harmless. Sometimes these stunts are not so harmless. When they're harmless, I just kind of sigh and, "Oh, kids nowadays," and, you know, take my cane and whip them over the head, right? Other times they are not so harmless, and that is why we have messages on our laundry detergent saying, "Do not eat." Tide Pod challenge, I mean, come on. somebody would get a bright idea of filming themselves doing this. Why you do that, I don't know, but here we are in 2026. So, I kind of wanted to talk about influencers and the influence on our life. It seems like an easy question, right? Who and what are we influenced by? I experience it, I'm sure everybody else experiences it, that certain people or certain things have a certain influence on you. So who and what are we influenced by? Friends, family, music, movies, social media, singers? As I've mentioned before, these all have a little bit of an effect on us and how we live our day-to-day life, or even how we act. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that everything influences us, no matter what it is. For instance, due to a few close calls that I've had, whether it's 5:30 in the morning or 9:30 at night, I always check my blind spot when I'm merging into a lane. Always. Doesn't matter. No one's going to be there, right? Well, you know, there have been times someone's been there. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be bouncing around a little bit. It says Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 15. It says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." So this is talking about your spiritual life. The word beware, I like to kind of center in on certain words, and certain words will really kind of jump out at me whenever I'm reading scripture. And in this case, it's the word beware. Be on guard. Don't give them your ear to fill your brain with complete nonsense. Not only, and this is kind of, I'll say mostly speaking of the assembly of the believers, you know, giving them a pulpit, but also we need to think about our daily lives as well. I'll say one of the most exhausting things for me, I would say, is listening to a new preacher on YouTube or Facebook or whatever some podcast, is because I have to put them through a filter, right? I really have to, are they really speaking what's true? Can I really take this to heart? So beware of that. And of course, we mentioned, I said, be on guard. And we have Gregory, who is our basically a guard, right, of the embassies of the places that he serves. He has to beware of the enemies. So don't let them have that. Don't give them free space in your head. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just for a verse, it says 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." So this is kind of where it gets out of kind of your spiritual life, although it has something to do with it as well. But it also has meaning on your physical life as well. I'm going to say, watch your friend group. You know, good. Another translation says, "Bad company corrupts good morals." I think that was in the ESV. Who do you hang out with? What is your conversation like when you're with them? What do they or you spur you on to do? Is it edification? Is it edifying you? Is it making you more Christ-like or not? I want to think about Colossians 3, starting in verse 1. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." So again, what are they influencing you towards or away from? Either way, we have to be on guard for that. So now, another easy question. Who should we be influenced by? So you could say, we can go back to that previous list I mentioned, friends, family, singers, and movies, and what have you. Sure, they could be a very good influence. What I will say is that if they are not rooted and grounded in Christ, they're probably not the greatest influence, no matter what. But this is an easy question to say, and it's not so easy to follow through with, or to answer, I'm sorry. It says, we should be influenced heavily and kind of solely by Jesus Christ. And it's my earnest hope that we're all spending time with our Savior and letting him flow through us and morph us into what he wants us to be. But sometimes that doesn't always happen, right? We're still a work in progress, or his work of art, as we'll see later. Ephesians 5. Let's go to Ephesians 5. in just one verse. Ephesians 5, in verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So, this one, in another translation, again, it could be rendered as imitators. Be ye imitators of God. Do like what Christ does. And we are to be imitators of Jesus Christ. Again, that is easier said than done. So I wanted to, now that I've gotten older and I've gotten married and now I have a daughter, so I'm going to have a story about my daughter, right? So I was coming home from work the one day, and I opened the door. Of course, I got my lunchbox and I got my coat on, and I unzip my coat and I'm taking my shoes off and I put my lunchbox down, and all the while she's... Esther was on the floor playing with Evelyn with one of the rattles or toys or whatever, and Evelyn's sitting there and she's blowing raspberries at me, like just with her lips, and I'm like, okay. So I got everything all put away and I'm set and I'm ready to play with her actually, and I'm like, what is this about? And Esther goes, you make the noise with her all the time. It's like I do the elephant noise by pursing my lips and blowing through it, and it gets a noise, and she loves it. So what is she doing? She's imitating me. She's trying to make the noise herself. So I'm like, okay, well, that, kind of makes you feel good, I guess. But then, and then also, not just Evelyn, but I have a nephew on Esther's side, Ezra. A lot of you have met him. And we were out to my in-law's house once, and all of a sudden I hear music coming from the one room. Now, with Miriam, that's, nothing new, hearing music from a room. But this was drums, this was just a whole orchestra. And I'm like, what's going on? And I'm like, does anybody else hear that, or am I just going nuts, right? It's like, oh, no, that's Ezra. He's watching an orchestra. I'm like, you're watching an orchestra? He's like three or four, I don't know. I'm like, you're watching an orchestra? And yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, does he like listening to it? No. He's watching it for the conductor. He goes around like this, and then when he's done, he's conducting an orchestra. Jordan and Leah got him like a bow and arrow set for his birthday, and he takes the two arrows, and he conducts the orchestra. And I'm just like, hey, cool. And then finally, Titus, right? We all have seen Titus, and we all love Titus. A couple different times now, they just got him a vacuum. So you go around, and he's vacuuming just like Leah. And I was like, wow, cool. And then whenever he takes a drink from his cup, whenever I prompt him, he'll sit there and he'll take his cup, his sippy cup, both hands, he'll upend it like this, set it down, and it's like, what do we do? But, we upend our cup, set them down, and oh, that was good. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Be ye an imitator of God as a dear child. I don't think that word dear and dear children was by accident. I see these things now, and again, now that I'm older and I can kind of watch everything, and I'm sure most of you, Aunt Gladys, probably saw it in me, okay, imitating people, and the loved ones, and those who have an influence on you. And it's really neat to see. It really is cute. Not only is it cute, and not only does it, make you feel good and have Evelyn, flash you a great big smile with huge eyes, and it's awesome to see. Think about how our Heavenly Father sees that as well with us. When we are acting out and doing what He tells us to do in His Word, how we are growing closer to Him, listening to Him, and doing what He says. So that was also another thing. they show something. All of these little illustrations, they show something, right? First, I never really thought about it, really, but you're being watched. Whether you know it or you don't, you're being watched. Titus is a great example of that for me personally, where it's just like, I never really saw it with my little sister just because I was kind of a little young still, but it's like with Titus, he's watching everything you do. That boy is just observing everything. So you need to be very careful how you live and what you do. Second, it's a perfect illustration of how we're supposed to be mimicking God. The likeness between an impressionable child, again, was not on accident. Another story I had, and I don't remember who it was, because we had bunk beds when I was a kid, so it was either Duncan or Cameron, I don't remember, but I was away at a sleepover, right? So I was not there. And then I come back from my sleepover, and I believe it was either Dad or Mom was tucking us in, and they go, you know, are you okay tonight? And it's like, oh, Clayton's here, everything's fine. Okay. What was that all about? Talk to Mom or Dad. It's like, well, he had some nightmares, and, you know, he figures if you're here, the monsters can't get him. So I was like, okay, right? You influence your siblings as well, right? I was, I guess you could say, a protector, so to speak. So now comes kind of the question that I oftentimes have to ask myself, and whenever I speak my messages, I kind of turn the focus from outwards, and I turn it inwards, and I have to look at myself, and I have to ask myself that question: am I influencing others positively? Am I influencing others negatively? Or am I even influencing others? Am I a Christian influence? How's my testimony? You know, we talk about different things. Duncan asked for prayer for his work situation. Quit being a wuss and just, you know, man up and pull myself by my bootstraps. And okay, you know, we laugh about that, but your Christian testimony, your work ethic is also something that people notice. You are being watched, like I said, not just by your toddlers, but also by every single one of your coworkers and your friends. If you have unbelieving friends, I have them. You're being watched. positively influence them. With your Christian testimony. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 13. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So we just got through with the winter season. Hopefully we're still good. I'm assuming we're done with the winter season, but when you think about it, what is salt? We like salt at my house, so it's like when you have eggs, put a little salt and pepper on there, and they're great, and it really makes your food taste good. It's also why I have high blood pressure, but we won't get into that. It tastes good. It's also a preservative, but then also, if it loses its salt, what's it good for? Not really anything. However, you can throw it on the throw it out on the gravel to help melt the ice or to give you traction. It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. So let's not be good for nothing. Even though we say that rock salt is good for something, let's not be, as the Bible says, good for nothing and just cast out and under the foot of men. Let's be a savor. let's be that influence. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says this: "Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." I was going to have Logan bring a whetstone. He's a wizard with it. You give him a dull blade, and it comes back ready to shave with. It's awesome. It is made out of diamond. Sometimes it's made out of diamond. Sometimes they're made out of other things, but basically it's an abrasive. At work, we have what are known as grinders. centerless grinders and or surface grinders. They are like a carbon wheel, aluminum oxide. So it's an abrasive. It goes against metal, and then it cuts it. So iron sharpens iron. We want to be that influence to one another, and this is where are we influencing people in a positive way? Are we edifying one another? If you come and talk to me and I'm nothing but a Debbie Downer, and, you know, of course, sometimes I get that way, I suppose, but if you don't leave encouraged or feeling better, I probably have not done my job right as a friend. So iron sharpens iron. It also asks hard questions and says things, you know, hey, I noticed something. Can we talk about this? So it sometimes is uncomfortable. Iron is grating away other iron. After that, it becomes sharper. Finally, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says this: "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on those things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So think about that. You know, what is your conversation like with your friend group, the people who influence you and whom you influence? If the conversation is not particularly lovely or true or honest or of good report, try to think about some other things to talk about, maybe. Or if they're crude or what have you. Talk about the things which you've learned from things on Sunday. Maybe what you learned on Sunday. Think about what you've learned from Christ and received from him and have heard and seen in him. So talk about those kind of things. All in all, it's a hard thing to think about, is that you are influencing someone and someone is influencing you. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's not so hard, but it is something that we need to be very careful of when we're going about our day-to-day lives, about influencers. And I'm not talking about people who eat Tide Pods, okay? That's ridiculous. So don't be influenced by those kind of people. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our loving God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you did for us on that cross of Calvary. Lord, thank you for everybody here, Lord. Thank you for the influence that they've had on my life, and I pray that I will have a good influence on theirs as well as the days and years go on. We pray that you'll protect us from the fiery darts of the devil, Lord, as we go about our business into this lost world. Help us to be a light for you, and help us to be salt for you. In your name, amen.